life, you don't know what to expect. Never really know what's coming next. Try your best to put your mind to rest. Take a guess, but don't hold your breath. Now you can cry and bitch and whine and say fuck the world and have a good ass time. Cause we're all gonna die, but we're not dead yet. So let's get it started, say we're the band.
Oh, good golly. It's been a long season two of Set With The Bet, but fun. We're going to go over it because I'm your co-host, Zane Lovelady. That's my co-host over there, Bear.
What's up, buddy? Awkwardly clapping for ourselves.
We did it.
We did it.
Season two. It's over and done with. I'm tired.
Are you tired?
Yeah, I'm so tired.
Oh, I'm not. I'm pumped. I'm so ready for season three.
I'm ready for season three, too. But season two's over.
Yeah, and it was a fun one. We learned a lot. The show got exponentially better. And
it was so much better. Exponentially, because there was five more challenge sets than there was on any other given set with a bet.
Right.
That we had. It was, we took a big step with doing season two, and it... For those who, if this is your first time ever seeing the podcast or you've never been to a live show, Set With The Bet is a show where we have comics on our podcast. They get challenges and then they have to do them on the live show during their sets. It's very fun. It's very fun. It's different things. We just did our Christmas one in December. We did of season two. It was the live shows were September, October, November, and December. We had 16 episodes. This is the 17th episode of season two, and we're wrapping it after this one. We're doing season three in the new year. It's been so fun. I've really enjoyed doing it this way.
Yeah, me too. I was worried because when we were season one, the first season, when we were doing this, it was one challenge at the end of an open mic at a bar. And that was fun. That was exciting.
At first, it wasn't even at the end of the
bet. Yeah, well, okay. At the very beginning.
At the very beginning, dude. We were like, you know.
Here's some wild, crazy shit. And then we would just do an open mic after. And the bar would be like, what the fuck was that? We learned.
And the one where we learned was the one where I had to get a Thanksgiving feast
stuffed into his pants.
And we were in the bathroom cutting my pants off.
Like, oh, this may be distracting for the show.
And Lucas is just out there like, hey, here's my well-crafted material.
So dating apps suck.
Yeah. And we're like taking food that's going to a homeless shelter after this out of my pan.
If by the homeless shelter, you mean the dumpster behind Cregan's? Yeah.
Which I honestly.
I mean, yeah, honestly.
That was a homeless shelter.
It was. Pretty much.
I would trip over people back there charging their phone all the time.
That's how it started.
And
then we went to the five challenges per show at the Looney Bin at an actual comedy.
Well, then
club.
We went to the end of the show, and then we went to...
Right, I'm talking about season two.
Yes, like, season two, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was cool. It was fun. But it was... Honestly, there was a lot of them where it was stressful because, like... That's a lot more moving parts to try to orchestrate in a cohesive way and not ruin a stand-up show and make it fun for everybody.
Let's talk about September. September, we did it on September 25th.
And we learned some lessons in September. I mean, the biggest lesson that I think I learned in September is, hey, man, don't have a challenge that sends a comedian to the hospital. Like, that's just not good for your blood pressure or your bank account or anything. Let's just not do that.
We accidentally sent a comic to the hospital. He had to do seven deadly shots during his set.
And he doesn't drink, so we had to come up with, like, our own... shots, and one of them was hot sauce that was apparently way too hot.
I seriously can, because here's the thing, Bear and I have both done that hot sauce. I think the water that we put the hot sauce in like activated it or something.
Zane, there's water in every human's mouth. If water activated it, then it would have been activated when it went in our mouth. Chris is just a goddamn pussy.
No. I think it just like...
I think he had like an ulcer or something he didn't know about in his stomach because it wasn't his mouth. His mouth was on fire, but it was his stomach that sent him to the hospital.
And maybe that's what the water did, is it just made it shoot straight down to like his guts, which like that was nothing.
Don't
we ever
bring your science into this.
I that's supposed to show with a bat. It's kind of like science projects, really, if you think about it.
Maybe it was the water. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a dietitian.
Yeah, because we didn't have to do with water. I don't know what it was. We don't use that hot sauce anymore.
We sure don't.
That was the end of the end. That was what it was called, was the end.
Yeah.
6 million Scoville units coursing through Chris Bailey's veins.
Yeah, the second I saw it send somebody to the hospital, I was like, I don't want to have to be responsible for this.
yeah, we lost it after that.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a stressful episode because right before...
Oh, yeah. Also, on that night, I forgot your kid was born.
My kid was born the next
day. The second most important thing that happened that night.
It was the next day. But I got
you
a text.
Left that show to go to the hospital.
So. I got a text like an hour before. Like, we were there setting up. And, you know, I texted mom and my kid. I was like, just let me know when you go to the hospital. I got a call. I was like, hey, I'm at the hospital. And, you know... having your kid. I was like, well, I've got a show to do.
I'll be there after it's over.
Yes. So I
well, this is the second most important thing that's going to happen tonight. Let me go take care of the first one.
Well, she was like, I'm not actively like in labor or anything, and you know, she was not happy. She was not happy that I was not there.
What was she gonna do, break up with you? She had already done that.
Yeah, she did. That was already done. That was already taken care.
You might as well do the show.
Yeah. I was like, well, get good pictures. I got a show to do. It didn't. I was stressed about it. I thought it was pretty. I wasn't sure, you know. Obviously, we weren't communicating that well.
Right. Well, it was just funny because after the show, we took Chris to the hospital and like waved to you because you were in the hospital next door.
Yeah. Going to see your son for the hospital, right? Yeah. For different reasons. Yeah, we did. So I got my free Brazilian during my set. Because that was my challenge that night.
Oh yeah, we waxed you that night.
Yeah, you waxed me. And
which I'm glad people were there to see that one. Yeah. Back in season one, we did the waxing challenge at Cregan's, and there was like two people there for it.
That's right.
And when there's just two people watching me wax you, that feels like something we could have done in a bedroom. Like, I'm like, I don't like this.
Something I wish we'd done.
It's like, this is weird. There was a lot more people there for that wax.
There was a lot more people there for that
turned
time.
Out to be a fun time.
And it was. We knew it was good.
Yeah,
dude. It was better than we did the first time, too. It was weird to, like, put my clothes back on and go to meet my son. Yeah. After that.
Chest stinging.
Yeah, right. Chest stinging. Pubes burning. Yeah, it was also my pubes. I had a pube.
Oh, yeah. Waxed your pubes as well.
Yeah. Most people were done eating by then. But yeah, I went to the
show. There's tissue and toilet paper in front of you if you would like to blow your nose, buddy.
I heard. I'm kind of liking the rubbing it with my finger and snort and sniffing. And snorting. If anyone...
I'm dreaming of a wine.
I went to the hospital and rushed because I was like, my son's being born.
18 hours later.
Yeah, dude. I burst into the room and everyone's just sitting down, just chatting.
Just being super chill.
I was like, you. How dare you?
Got under your skin for nothing. It's almost like she knew to call you at 7:45, knowing your show starts at 8 o'clock.
No, I'm sure she isn't paying attention. She doesn't want anything to do with me. I actually heard my son laugh for the first time today. It's a cool video.
Oh, what did somebody else say? To make him laugh.
To make him laugh, yeah. He's brilliant.
Always a banger for children.
Yeah, he loved that one. Yeah, and my son was born the next day on September 26th, a whole 24 hours later.
Then we did October.
Yes, October was after that. I hosted that one.
October was the one where we had a comic on the podcast that didn't make the show.
That's right.
So that's the first time we had that happen. Dude had a meltdown, and then he got in a fight.
A little bit of a meltdown.
He lost a fight to a... He lost a fight... Which the other person had a skateboard that he brought to the fight.
That didn't have anything to do with October, though.
I know. I just wanted to bring it up because it's fucking hilarious. Ron L. Williams, he was on the show and he went crazy at one of our shows. And we were like, hey, you can't go crazy and like keep coming and doing our show. So kicked him off and had Chris Bailey had him redeem himself from.
Yes, from being sent to the hospital.
Right. And during that, while Ron L. got banned, and we were both talking like, I mean, he's kind of hilarious though. Like, would love to find a way for him to redeem himself. Like, you were vouching for him and stuff. And while all that was happening, the infamous skateboard video came out. Where if you haven't seen it, like, there's a video of Ron L. starting a fight with a rapper, and Ron L.'s got a skateboard and he's swinging it at the rapper, and then Ron L. throws it and immediately gets his ass beat.
Yep. Yep, that's true. That is what happened. He stayed on his feet. He didn't get his ass beat, though. And here's the thing. Yeah, I'd feel kind of bad talking about it, but I'm pretty sure Ron Nell's the one that posted it on YouTube.
Why would you feel bad about talking about it? Well, it's what happened.
But it's like the video got out there, and like, you know, I didn't want someone to see me toss a skateboard. And
right. That's why I don't bring skateboards to fist fights.
Right. Right.
Also, if I bring a skateboard to a fist fight, I'm not losing the fucking skateboard.
Right. No kidding. The zombie games, it really makes it look, those melee weapons look a lot more useful.
Also, that's not what a skateboard's for. Right away on it. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah, that is nuts. That is nuts. I also have never seen him with a skateboard outside of that moment.
No, before or since, have never seen him with a skateboard. Yeah, it was that video.
Maybe that rapper was on that skateboard before.
Maybe Ron took a skateboard. I don't know.
Right out from underneath him.
That happened.
That'd start a fight.
Yeah, that would cause a fight for sure.
You're in a really precarious position on a skateboard. Anyway, you know who else is in a precarious position? It's Ron L. which is why we couldn't have him on in October. Chris Bailey did a great job. He did it with vampire teeth. And I don't know. What did you think about that show?
I thought it was awesome. I loved the cricket eating set that Eugene did.
October was probably the most intense set with a bet we've ever done.
I think October is the best produced. Like, the crowd was intense. There was a lot of people there. It was fun. It was just nothing but fun. And Eugene's cricket set, like, that moment was, I think, my favorite moment from season
Eugene's
two.
Cricket set was probably the best. Just like, of what it is. I mean, the audience was just so... A chick didn't think that Eugene was eating live crickets on stage. And a girl in the audience didn't believe that he was eating them. Like, that they were live crickets.
Right, so he was like, come on stage, you can put one in my mouth. And she did. She got on stage and was like...
Well, before that, everyone was like, come on up here. You can eat a cricket.
Yeah, I started that chant in the back. I was like, eat one, eat one.
Yeah. And the crowd was chanting, eat one. And then she got up there and realized they were live, living crickets.
Fuck yeah. We didn't skimp at all.
No. They were big crickets.
Yeah, big, plump, and very alive.
Yeah, Eugene was upset he forgot his dentures. He was like...
They were crawling out of his throat.
Yeah, he was horking down crickets. They wanted to live.
Oh, if you want to see that set, check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/scoundrelslivestandup. That's up there. Ben got blown. He got blown.
Like you were saying, the girl got up there and Eugene was like, tell you what, you can just put it in my mouth. And she did. She put it in his mouth. And he's eating it. And he does like, dude, in the audience was just losing their mind. I mean, just to be in there in that moment. I mean, it was definitely the most gladiator style, and I think that Set with a Bet has ever felt.
Yeah, that's the biggest moment of Set with a Bet so far.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah, Eugene is. That was a classic moment. It's in our intro for this podcast. I mean, because of that.
Yeah.
What else were you saying? I'm sorry.
Ben Push got blown by the dude.
That's right.
He had a wand between his legs. He was dressed as a slutty witch.
Yeah, Ben Push has just been showing up and getting trashed at these Set with the Bets. And it was on October, was on again in December. Both was just hammered. And yeah, dude, he was dressed real scandalously as a little witch. And it was, you know, berating people in the audience the way Ben Push does.
Right.
And yeah, ended up somehow coaxing a man on stage. Well, the dude didn't take much coaxing. The dude gave him a hand job first on his wand.
Yeah. Same chick that was saying that the crickets weren't real, she was like, that's not he didn't suck you off. He just jerked you off. And so Ben was like, yeah, get back up here.
And he came up there. And he fucking...
Not only did, I mean, he didn't hesitate, and he, like, got after it. Like,
I'll tell you...
He arched his back and everything.
If Ben cast a spell right then, that dude would have been... would have had pixie dust all in his mouth, dude.
No, he wouldn't have had a drop of pixie dust in his mouth. It would have been in the back of his throat. Yeah, he put that wand all the way in the back of his throat.
Yeah, dude. And Ben is just all sitting going, oh!
It's very funny. That's also on the Patreon.
That's also on the Patreon. Yeah, Ben loved it. and also his girlfriend. I'm sure he does.
And then after that was the mystery box.
Yeah, the mystery box. Yeah. Yeah, the mystery box. Mystery box was good.
That was a fun one.
It was intense.
That one may have been a little too intense for the...
No, I don't think so. I think that the issue that we had with the mystery box was literally that we told everyone what was in there.
Yeah.
I think that the initial shock of the mystery box, we told everyone but Zach Slomers, who dearly loved and dearly missed. He died.
Or the next best thing, you moved to Michigan.
Yeah, Ohio.
Ohio, same thing.
Yeah. moved to Ohio. We miss him. He's still alive as far as I know. I texted him. He didn't text me back. So he's dead to me.
Really? He texted me back twice today.
Good.
He didn't. I just wanted to hurt your feelings.
Okay. All right. Well, good one. Yeah, because it did hurt my feelings.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd actually find a nerve.
I fucking miss Zach, dude. It was a great set. I thought Zach did a good job. We told everyone in the audience, we showed everyone in the audience what the ingredients were and not Zach. So, like, the initial shock of the reveal of that was a lot for people. And we got that initial reaction. But then as the set went on and I told Zach what it was, I felt like the audience was like, knew that. Been there. Like, they'd already experienced it.
Like I said, this show is growing with us and we're learning how to do it as we do it.
Right.
So the next time we do a mystery box challenge, we know that everybody's going to learn what's in there at the same time.
Yes.
Zach and the crowd. The crowd's not going to be in on it beforehand.
Yeah. And we did do that in December. We'll get to that.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yes. November was after that. November, we did the Thanksgiving themed show.
Right. Oh, also October, I did the Yucky Beans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We just didn't go through all the challenges for the first one. We can go through it, though. Yeah, you did the Yucky Beans. What did you think?
They were disgusting. That was my least favorite challenge I did this whole season.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you only did two.
Damn, did I only do two?
Yeah.
Well, that one was the least favorite one.
Of the two, that one was stinking.
Yeah.
It seemed like it. I love that one. I'm so glad you had to do it. That was a fun one. I did go through and test. I kind of did like an eighth of that challenge, pretty much, because I had to go through and I was cutting the tops off those beans and tasting it and figure out which ones were
bad. Yeah, you had to taste them first to know which one was which.
Yeah, to give you all the bad ones.
You did a great job, man. There wasn't a good one in there.
Dude,
you didn't know is, like, as I was walking on stage, walking up to the stage, I dumped them all on the floor of the loony bin. I had to pick them up, and so they were all like shitty jelly beans to begin with, but they also had like loony bin floor gunk on them too. So just paid some dues on that set. Let's not just glass over that one. And skip well,
and they all had like sticky tops too, because they did.
Yeah, man.
They were just little compost picker-uppers.
Oh, dude, it was gnarly. I almost threw up on every single bean.
Oh, I could tell how much you were showing, because you really do have a sensitive belly. Yeah, man, that was awesome. I really enjoyed that one. I had fun hosting that show, too. I was in my Daredevil costume.
Yeah. That was just all around a fun show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And then November came, and November was fun with Thanksgiving. What do you think? What was your highlight of
November? I got a low light for Thanksgiving when the speaker got unplugged. All of our equipment got unplugged.
Yeah. That's right.
That made me mad. That made me real mad. But I think we have checks and balances in places now where that cannot and will not happen again in the future.
Oh, there's a lot of moving parts to say with a vet, you know? You could trip over a...
Right. We don't have to get into it.
Over Gordon and get it, you know?
Yeah.
Jacked up.
I liked the turkey season set a lot, where with Caroline Holt, when she dressed up like a cooked turkey and the crowd shot Nerf guns at her. That's a fun... That's just fun. Anytime you give a crowd Nerf guns, it's going to be fun.
It was fun. Caroline's probably the youngest comic of, like, as far as just time in that we've ever had on set with a bet.
Yeah, she's only been doing it a few months.
Mm-hmm.
When she came on.
Yeah, and she had... And part of the reason that we had Caroline on is because of just how hard she works. You know, she... You know, puts a ton of time into writing and and doing it. And she clearly had a bunch written for that turkey set, but as soon as she started getting hit with those Nerf bullets, dude
that went out the window.
She was just, ooh!
I think people forget how hard Nerf guns go now.
They go hard,
they
man.
Go fucking hard.
Those Nerf guns, they really...
These ain't 1980s Nerf guns. These are like... 2015, 2016, like almost state-of-the-art Nerf guns.
Yeah. Dodgeball's gotten a lot softer since like the 1980s, but Nerf guns have gone the other way.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, the bullets are like hard. They're like hollow
hard
tip.
Hard plastic, they're yeah.
Like hollow tip.
They whistle when they go by. Like, phew! It's like, God, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Folks are getting... Boy, Caroline was getting pieced up. You got pieced up. Speaking of Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene shot me in the head and I was hosting.
Dude, I was talking to him about that the other night. And Eugene's like, he was telling me how good he is at accuracy games. I was like, yeah, you pinned Bear. Which, by the way, I knew was going to happen whenever you were going up after the Nerf gun.
Of course. Like, I mean, of course it's going to happen.
Eugene swears on his life. He's like, man, I was setting down the gun. I wasn't even trying to shoot him. It was as I was putting the gun down on the table, I accidentally squeezed the trigger and it flew up. I couldn't have hit him there if I was trying to shoot him there.
Well, Eugene, that's why in Arkansas people teach trigger discipline. All right, you Louisianian fuck. He shot me in the head. Nick Moore was on that show too. He did the kids table set, and that one, I wish we had given Nick Moore a better challenge.
I know
that was our fault.
I know
the kids tables. He did the best he could with it, and he did great. Got laughs in the room, rose the challenge. Hats off to him, but that was a shitty challenge.
I still think it was good. We just needed to give him more to go off of.
Yeah. And that's something.
And
that
we did have stuff in the room. Just nothing got put up there. Right. That was the thing. He just ended up sitting at a small table
with a bunch of dolls on it. There was some miscommunication with the stagehand at the November show. But that we've got checks and balances in place where that will not happen again.
Don't put anything on the table. Unplug the stage. We just had some bad notes. It's okay. We worked through some stuff in November. November was still a good show, though.
It was still a good show.
All of these have really been good shows. Dude, I mean, these have been the best set with the bets that we've
ever done. And they've been the most fun.
They were better than anything we did in the first season.
Fucking, you did Uncle Dan, or Uncle David.
Uncle David, yeah.
November. That was a good set. We that lost the audio fun. For the first 30 seconds of it, but that was a really good set.
Good.
That was a lot of fun.
It was
fun. I gave Zane the most heinous, horrific political topics I could think of to turn into jokes. And you did. You went up there, you picked a character, stuck with it, and made it funny and made it bearable for a crowd that was like, oh my God. I think one of them I gave you was that marital rape should be a right.
Yeah. Four women. Yeah.
You came up with four women and then went into that character. It was beautiful. The crowd loved it. Thanks, it was well done. It was clever.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I want Set with the Bet to be, is a challenge that brings the best out of comedians.
Yeah. Another one of my favorite ones was a trans athlete should be the leaders of Boy Scout troops.
Yeah, you had a great take on that.
Thanks. I really enjoyed that one too. Yeah. We were talking about it after the show, I forgot to bring that one up. I really liked that one too. There was a couple of stuff that yeah, it was a good time. I had fun coming up with it. You know, I did think hard about like who Uncle David was, you know, which that wasn't the name. You just gave me the hard political topics.
Invented the character.
Yeah. I had to create Uncle David. Yeah.
I mean, great job.
Thanks, man. Great job. I appreciate it. It was fun. It was really a good time. Yeah. No, I think that's something that we want to do more going forward with Set with a Bet, is like
more characters
like that. Right. And give people prompts, because that going into December, that was one, that was what you got, was you ended up pulling Jesus on his birthday.
Right. Which was hard as shit.
Yeah. That's the only one. So this is the first time we've had a chance to talk about December. December's what we just did. December 18th. We would have done it on the last Monday, but the last Monday of December is the 25th.
Right. So we did it on the 18th, and you want to just go through the whole show?
Yeah, we can go through the whole show. I hosted it. It was fun. It was very fun. We did all the stuff up top. And then, so we started with Tina Towns on the challenge sets. And she went about doing, her things was letters to Santa. And so everyone in the room wrote down the naughtiest thing that they wanted for Christmas. And Tina just basically had a chance to read them all in 7 minutes. She could have like done more commentary on each one, but each one that that people in the room wrote was so funny.
Right. I mean, the crowd had, I wondered if that was because of the prompt of the naughtiest things you want for Christmas. Like, and I was curious if we should give them a prompt or not, but
I think it worked.
I think it worked too.
Yeah, dude. And what Tina was just basically like, no, ew.
I mean, yeah, the crowd would be like, I mean, you saw what they wrote down.
Yeah. Christmas tree butt plug. I mean, a sex doll that'll suck it from the back. Like, like just crazy stuff of just weird, perverted
nastiness.
And then Tina basically just pulled him out and was like, kid, do better. Aim higher. And everyone was like, we agree with you, Tina. We are terrible. And went through her whole set. That was really fun. Did her thing. And then next, Lucas had to do reindeer games. I guess I'm talking about most of this because you were in the back preparing for...
Right. I was getting ready for, I was memorizing my set and getting in a costume.
Yes. Have you watched any of the footage from December?
I have gone through all of Tina's set and a part of Lucas's.
Okay. So Lucas has his reindeer antlers on. And the way reindeer games works is we had to toss rings on his antlers. And if we got three, then the snowball fight commenced.
Which was just wadded up pieces of paper.
Right. Which, inevitably, we got three.
Right. Of course. Like, of course you're going to get three.
Right. But then
Lucas put down the mic and just every time they would throw snowballs at him, he would throw them right back. And it was kind of chaotic for about 2 minutes.
2 minutes is kind to how long Lucas lasted. Here's the thing. Lucas put the microphone back and Sarah just started screaming and throwing watered up pieces of paper at the audience. And everyone stopped having fun.
No, I don't think everybody stopped having fun. You stopped having fun. You got very upset because you were like, Lucas, I am paying you for your jokes. Tell some motherfucking jokes.
Which he did for the whole first. I was wrecking shop the whole first part of his set. He was just doing the most offensive jokes that he has written.
Yeah.
And making people want to
throw things at him,
which is perfect. Which, and then, you know. Yeah, I put the microphone back in the mic stand, started throwing pieces of paper back at the eyes. Well, it just wasn't fun for them anymore.
Yeah, because they were like, now we're just fighting a giant with paper.
Yeah, sitting down. Like, Lucas was putting his, turning his hips into it and shit.
Well, after Lucas, we had Ben.
Ben Push was drunk again.
That seems to be a pattern.
It's not all the time. He's not drunk all the time. But
just for that with a bet.
Well, yeah, when Ben gets drunk, he just gets drunk. And Ben's challenge was Dirty Santa, which was six presents that I wrapped
that had horrible pictures in them. You want to talk about what was?
Yeah.
One of them was a Polish man skint the face off of his father and was wearing it.
Mm-hmm. This is his mugshot.
Yeah.
Because they, well, it was really a double mugshot. Yeah. You know, but like jokes like that would have been nice.
Zane's upset because he doesn't feel like the comics delivered, or he doesn't feel like Ben delivered the way he should have. Which I didn't get that vibe in the room, but also I was getting ready for my Jesus.
I mean, I'm just being critical. I mean, Ben still had a good set. I mean, Ben's funny the way he like attacks an audience from the stage. Well, right. The way he gets mad at audience members.
Ben off is still better than 90% of comedians.
Yes. Yes. But I wrapped all the presents and put the pictures in them. And I was thinking of things that I wanted to say about the things. One of them was like, one of them was twins who committed suicide together. I was like, ah, you only got to get one bullet, you know. Like, I had stuff for them, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe that's me just being too harsh because like I got to see them and like
a little bit of time to process it,
right?
And you weren't doing it live in the moment,
right?
Like Ben was,
right? Which I still think I could have come up with some stuff if I. You know, but being fucking chit faced would have made it harder for sure. I also put in a picture of my knuckle flap.
This show was very fun, by the way.
It was
like,
fun.
Zane's being super hypercritical. He's like, oh, fucking Lucas, oh, fucking Ben. And like the crowd had a great fucking
time. It was. I had to tell myself that. Like, in the moment, I was like having that. I was like, you're way more angry than anyone else in this room. And they both did good. And it was fine. I put my knuckle flap in there. And Ben was thoroughly unimpressed with that. He was like, I just saw someone with their body hanging out of the windshield of their car.
You should definitely either bandage that or get a stitch for it.
I know, but I love it. I like playing
with
it.
Like, no, you should definitely go get stitches, man.
It's kept me from like,
you need stitches.
You need stitches.
I can see a flap of your skin sticking.
I know, like, dude.
You call it your knuckle flap.
I know.
You know what humans don't have, Zane? Fucking knuckle flaps.
I love my knuckle.
You've got a mud flap on your fucking knuckle. Go get it stitched down to your finger. What the fuck?
I love my knuckle flap, man.
Quit flicking it. Oh,
I flick it all day long.
You got to stop flicking it, man. Like, God damn it.
It gets upsetting. It gets hard overnight and stuff, and I get to break it free again the next day.
Dude, go get stitches before your finger rots off.
It's still clean right now.
Go get stitches. Come on, man. You really need them.
I've got some liquid bandage that...
Or super glue it. Yeah, you can super glue it.
Yeah, I've got some liquid bandage that I should put on it.
Yes, you definitely should.
I just haven't opened it yet. Dude. I love it, dude. It's seriously, it gives me something to do. I like something to fidget
with. A knuckle flap isn't a fidget spinner, you fuck. God damn it, you weirdo.
I love it so much, dude.
Okay, let's talk about anything else.
Okay. The next set was Birthday Jesus, which great job, man. And that's part of why, like, we both had character challenges, and I think we both really enjoyed it. I don't know. I enjoy getting waxed too. That was fun. But Uncle David was a really good time too. And like having the task of writing for it and stuff was fun. I knew what angle I was going to go with Uncle David, but you definitely took a more hard and fast, like, line, bar for bar approach with Jesus.
What do you mean by that, bar for bar?
Like, you just had, like, lines. Like, you had so many lines that you were...
Yeah, that was the only way I could think to do it, was to fill 7 minutes of just go joke, 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 joke to get me through it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to... I don't know how to act like Jesus for 7 minutes, but I knew I could write 7 minutes of Jesus jokes.
Yeah, right. And you did. You did. And some of it's going to really go in your act.
Yeah, I'm working on putting a lot of it in my act.
Yeah.
But yes, that was, I had a lot of fun doing that. I came out, I was Jesus on his birthday. I had a toga on with a sash. I had a crown of thorns. It was a headband. I went down to the garden and cut down a thorn tree and like super glued, or had Katie hot glue a crown of thorns together. And then I had a crown bottle that had a lot of thorns hot glue did as well. So it was my crown of thorns. And that's when I came up there with that, my opening joke was, somebody tell Carrie Underwood she's going to have to take the wheel tonight. It's my birthday. And then I did a shot of crown, and that's how I started my set.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I just had as many jokes as I could fucking think of.
Yeah, I gave you a bunch of annoying stuff that...
Oh, yeah, you also... I had 7 different birthday tropes I had to hit, like birthday month, wishing somebody else was at the party. I don't remember what they all were now.
Yeah, stuff like that, though. That was funny whenever you were like...
Lying about your age, that was one. I had to do a joke about Jesus lying about his age.
Yeah, you were like, did anyone else here... anyone else here celebrate their entire birthday month? You do a couple girls in the front were like, yeah, whoa. You're like, it's a couple fucking white bitches.
Yeah, I realized immediately that Jesus may not have said a couple fucking white bitches in the front.
I know.
So
yeah, you definitely did not become Jesus on that stage.
Yeah.
But the ginger Jew in Bethlehem stuff, all the that you were a ginger Jesus, I thought that was all funny. I thought all the stuff you wrote about it was so, like, that's what I mean, I guess, in the like traditional stand-up approach, you know, like I feel like I feel like you did your set like you were like, if Bear all of a sudden was Jesus.
I mean, that's basically was my mindset.
Yeah, right. Right.
If Bear all of a sudden was Jesus.
Right. But I was like, with Uncle David, I was like one of my family members. Like, I was like, I was a different person.
Yeah. No, I was definitely still me.
You were just still me.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant. I've been trying to explain what I meant about this to you, like, for a week, and I've said it to you like 3 different ways. You've been like, "Are you saying I didn't do the challenge? Are you saying I did bad?" I was like, "No." You just like went, you did it differently than I would have done. I couldn't have filled 7 minutes doing it the way you did. You know, I couldn't have filled 7 minutes of like bar for bar, joke for joke. There's no way.
I didn't think I could either.
Yeah.
Like, I was calling Zane the day of, like, bro, I got 2 minutes. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You did.
And then, like, before the show that day, I was just, like, my roommates were here. Every time they'd walk in the room, I was like, hey, let me run this, like, 3 new Jesus jokes I just wrote by you. And they were tired of it. They were so done. My girlfriend, one of her friends came over to help her with something. And while she was here, I was like, hey, real quick, let me stop you and run 7 minutes of Jesus jokes by you to see if I'm ready for this set. And so I definitely, like, wore out the house to get the character put together. But I didn't... I didn't know how to improv as Jesus.
I bet Jesus did that too. He's like every time. So, hey, listen, I've got a parable for you. Let me hit you with this really quick. I got a whole mass I have to hit after this. Let me run this. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it was fun though. Like I think, and I told you this before we started recording, that Jesus set is probably the most fun I've had on stage. And the most fun I've had at a show since I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And I've had better sets. I've had bigger shows. Like, but that one, just all the work we put into Growing Scoundrels and Set With The Bet, and then to have that, like, I wrote 7 minutes for that the 2 days prior.
Yeah, have it accumulate to what we did in December was...
It was fun, and it was dope, and it was rewarding.
Yeah.
It was fulfilling.
And that's something I had to remind myself of, too, like, is that, like, even though I was being critical of some aspects of the show and hosting it and stuff, I was like, it is pretty crazy, you know, that we've gotten to this point with what all this is now, the amount of, just from where it was, you know, and...
Yeah, this started with me and you talking at the foot of my bed.
Yeah, this podcast, yeah. It did. Yeah, dude. Yeah. And it's just all come so far from where it was. And it's
still going into big places. Yeah. Like, it's not done growing.
And honestly, seriously, I thought that D set was like one of the strongest we've ever closed a set with a bet.
Yeah, D killed it. Milk and Cookies, like, that was... So my girlfriend made just heinous cookies. She made just put like cheese in a cookie. She put jalapeno pickles in one. There was one that just had seeds and stems.
Yeah, she said one was like gravy.
One just had gravy from a chicken. Not like gravy, but like chicken and dumpling broth. one of them was a dumpling because I had just made chicken and dumpling, so we put a dumpling in a cookie. There was a Band-Aid in one.
Yeah, dude, that's how the what kind of milk did he have?
It was like soy almond Kroger bullshit. I don't
know. Yeah, dude. D took a sip of that. And he's like, "This is not milk." I mean, just some terrible cookies. And D, what do you say about the one with gravy? He's like, "I feel like I'm swallowing a load right now." Like a swallow. to all the women I asked to swallow, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. For sure. You should have spit it out.
Oh, D killed it.
Yeah, dude, he's the cook. He's like halfway through. He's like, Santa would have come got your funky ass up out the bed. What the fuck is this?
Oh, I'm so glad he was on the show.
It was D's first ever set with a bet. He held out for a very long time because, you know, we sometimes make comics do gay shit and D wasn't having it. But man, he came through in such a big way.
And crushed. And
I wasn't sure if he was going to. When he drew Milk and Cookies, he
didn't know he was going to.
Yeah.
He openly was like, "Hey, I was not going to come do this."
Yeah, dude. Yeah, D was telling us. He was like, "Hey, listen, you know, people had to talk me into this." And it was not me and Bear.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, and he ended up coming through in a big way. He closed that show strong as fuck. He was great in the first half. Yeah, you're
thank
yeah.
you, D.
Yeah, thank you, D. It was so good. It's been a great season. I've enjoyed season two thoroughly. It's been my favorite iteration of Set with a Bet.
Mine too. Like, and it's been my favorite so far, but I feel like the show is just going to keep growing and getting better. We already have a plan for season three, some changes we're going to make the show even better. And I'm so fucking pumped.
We've got some pretty incredible things on the books for 2024. Season three, I'll go ahead and say then in the first season, one thing that was different that we also did, was we had actual bets that we made that Bear and I played, or whoever the challenging comic was that was going to be on the show, we would do bets, and which was cool. And we had fun doing those, but right. we just literally were making no content from them.
Right.
We were doing all this extra production stuff, getting people together, and we were having this like competition, this fun competition aspect of it. But we just didn't know how to incorporate it into the show, really. We tried recording it early on, but we never really did anything with it.
Yeah, it was, and some of that old stuff is on our Patreon right now if you want to check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It was fun. And
it was fun, but it, like you said, it was, we were trying to do three different shows as one, basically, in that format, and it didn't, it was clunky and it didn't really work.
And we're still trying to figure that out. I mean, obviously, we've got this podcast and it all feeds into a live show that, you know, so we're trying to figure out how to get more of that live show to people.
Right.
And also, in the Vegas sense, we don't want to say too many details because we don't have them all hammered out for sure, but definitely, I think we're both pretty much in agreement that 100% bets are coming back.
Yes. So in season three, there will be bets that that determine the challenge set.
Who's the loser? Who's the winner? Not everybody who's on the show
is going to have to do a challenge set.
But the challenge sets are going to be
gnarly.
We've got some new ways that we're doing this to make it work with the show and have it be an entertaining thing, because that was really your first idea of the show, was that
the competition aspect of getting two comedians competing for something,
right? And we've gotten into, you know, just how much fun we can have in the challenge sets, but I think we want to try revisiting these bets. And, you know, and I mean, this is what we're going to do for season three. And season two was 16 episodes. You know, maybe season three will be 16. Maybe it'll be 12. Maybe it'll be 20. I don't know. I don't know. We know for sure that for season three, we're bringing bets back. We will be at the Looney Bin in the new year. Ticket prices will be going up.
Yes. You will still be, for all the listeners of this podcast, there will still be half off codes that we drop. So be sure to listen for those. Check those out. But the ticket prices are going to go up to reflect the amount of work that these comedians are putting in for this, and they deserve to get paid.
And the amount of work that we put into it.
Right.
I mean, this is more than a normal stand-up show. It's not just folks showing up and slanging jokes. It's we spend money on costumes and ingredients, and it's all a lot, and we put a lot into it. And you know, we did it for free for a long time. We did it for its price at season two, and it's time for season three that we are making the money that it makes sense. And also, just for the entertainment value that Set With a Bet brings. I think that's what was another thing we realized in season two, is that we would be like sitting there in those shows, and like, even though I've said some critical things, like I'm saying that as the producer of the show. Every single one of season two's shows where I was like, this is more entertaining than the value of the ticket.
Yes.
The entertainment Absolutely. Value that is going on stage right now is better than...
I mean, that's what happened in November when the stagehand unplugged the equipment. He was having so much fun with the show that he just got distracted and lost track of where he was and accidentally tripped over the shit. Right. That's how fun the show is. It's like the people working on it get sucked into it. Like it's a whirlwind of chaotic energy that is just fun to be around.
Yeah, and we're the chaotic, competitive, intense energy is about to go up in season three. You know, with the way we're bringing these bets back, you know, I don't want to go into it too much just because we don't have all the details ironed out yet. But I think
we've got most of them ironed out.
It's gonna be so excited. I'm so excited for the way we're doing it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm ready. I'm so ready for it. Season three is going to be really sick. I'm sorry. This is probably going to be a short episode. Do you have anything else that you need to go over? We spent a lot of time hammering out those season three details whenever I got here.
Right.
I have things I have to get to.
That's fine.
What do you tell me? Do you have any closing thoughts? Season two. This is it. This is the recap. We did it. It's holidays. Christmas is going to be the next one. We're recording next week. We're taking no episodes off. There will still be an episode every week.
Yep. We're going to take off next week though, right? We're going to come back in the first of the year. Are we recording next week?
I guess we are taking off next week. I guess we are taking off next week, right? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would. I think we should come back the first week of January.
Right. We come back. That's right. I keep thinking that next week is the first week of January.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
We're going to have a week off.
We are.
Fuck yeah. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas, dude.
Merry Christmas to all of y'all that are still on board listening from day one.
Yes. Like, thank you to the comics that have come, that have been a part of this in season one, and then especially in season two, season three. I think we got some new faces. 2024, and besides season three, we even have other stuff that's on the books that we're just...
We've got stuff booked in 2024 that we're not announcing yet, but dude, it's going to be awesome.
We're doing it. I'm taking a much bigger step in my life to be a bigger part of Set With a Bet. And, in 2024, we're really trying to get this thing to another level, you know, which is what it is kept doing every year. You know, we keep up in the ante. I mean, I think
let's fucking keep doing it.
More and more in the pot. Jimmy Ray's is off this week, December 21st. I think we'll still be back doing it.
On the 28th.
The 28th.
Yep. Be back at Jimmy Ray's on the 28th. I've got the joint on January 6th and the joint on February 3rd.
Nice. I'm excited, dude. Love you, brother. We did it.
Love you too, brother. Love y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Peace.